Hi, Damien and Marcus from 100 Not Out here. MP.
Yes, Damo.
We all know the importance of having a diary, but who wants a boring old day planner?
Not me.
Enter The Journey of Me.
Ta-da!
The incredible 8-month wellness journal designed especially for wellness peeps like you.
Yes, Damo, this beautiful 8-month wellness guide is filled with questions, planners, exercises, reflective notes, and more. Endorsed by the Up For A Chat girls and loved the world over, The Journey of Me is a must-have if you're ready to live your best life for life.
To purchase your very own Journey of Me and receive a free set of inspirational postcards, simply enter the code COUCH at www.wellinu.com. That's www.wellinux.com.
WellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your life.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Karen's Couch. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's an absolute treat and an absolute honor to be able to share the ride with you guys. This week on today on Karen's Couch, we have got my beautiful bestie, Michelle House.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for joining us, Chicken Chops.
Hey there. What are we jumping down the hole with today?
Well, I thought it would be kind of cool to talk about well-being and the nature of well-being. I am about to, well, actually, by the time this show goes to air, I will have already delivered a presentation on the nature of well-being. And I'm doing research and reading and putting presentations together and all that sort of stuff. And I thought this is a perfect topic to talk about because, of course, I want to take it down a different angle, and of course, I want to go down the rabbit hole. But I'm really keen to talk to you about it because you and I always have the most amazing conversations that are beyond conversations that normally take place. So I was really keen to talk to you about it in the context of I look at well-being and I look at us as humans, and we're just ripping the planet apart in search of well-being. We're looking for well-being in food. We're looking for well-being in business. We're looking for well-being in money. We're looking for well-being in relationships. Some people think they'll have kids and that will bring them well-being. Some people think that if they go on a diet, that will bring them well-being. Our concept of what well-being is, I think, is really flawed. This is just my view. This is just my thought on it. And I think that the cost collectively to the planet and to ourselves is enormous. And unless we look at it differently, honestly, I think it's going to get worse. And when I look at the suicide rates, the inclination of the suicide rates, and I look at the people that are leaving this planet en masse, you know, either because they're unwell or because they've chosen to, it's massive. And I just got really curious about the concept of well-being. And really, well-being means not well-doing. It's well-being. So being well.
Wow.
And if I look at what a lot of people talk about, they either talk about food. So be well with your food, and that's the beginning and the end of it. That's the only relationship they've got to well-being. Or be well with your exercise. That will make you well. It smacks to me because I feel like we're more than that. And we're celebrating the physicality of the human body, and we're celebrating the intellect of the human brain. But we're more than that.
So what is well-being? I mean, it's one of those buzzwords, if you want to call it one of those. It has been used a lot in the last 10 years, well-being, and manage your well-being. What does that actually mean? Go manage your well-being, Michelle. And I go, what do you mean? I'm being and I'm well. I'm all right, thanks.
Moving right along.
I mean, what is well-being? Is it self-care?
Well, you just lit a little spark in me then, because you said go manage your well-being. So go manage your well-being. Meaning that the being is always well.
Yep.
The whole being is always well. So managing the whole being that is always well. I don't know, perhaps there's no management that's actually required. Perhaps there's only acknowledgement that the being is always well. The being potentially becomes unwell when we're disconnected from the being.
Yeah.
When we don't know the being.
When we're not conscious. When we're busy, when we're doing, and we're not actually bringing it. I'm using hand actions for everybody to see me through the radio.
Nice. Good. You like those.
Did I just say radio?
You did say radio. Where are you?
Handheld smart device. you know, it's like bringing your hands in front of you and realigning and bringing it right back to that present moment and being well about being in this present moment. And whether that is because you're going for a run, you're eating some food, you are banking a check, how are you being well about this right now?
And I think, you know, when we look at the way that we live, everybody's very externally focused. Everybody's in the job, the money, the car, the relationship. You know, everybody's very, very busy doing the do every day. We don't actually know our being. We don't know ourselves. We don't know the being. If the full being, meaning the intellect, the identity, and this is Eastern philosophy, it splits the mind into 84,000 pieces, but they distill it down into four, which is the intellect, the identity, the memory, meaning the whole memory, meaning mind and body. But then also they include pure intellect, which is the existence of the person without reference to the past and the present. So when you are actually present in the moment, it's that pure, pure intellect that doesn't draw on memory and it doesn't draw on identity and it doesn't draw on conditioned or trained intellect. It's just the pure intellect. And we don't know ourselves as that. We only know ourselves as intelligence and physicality and emotion, but not all emotion, just emotions generated from thought. So we don't really know ourselves. If we were to look at that as a model, we don't know ourselves. And I was putting something into this presentation and I thought to myself, you know, if I want to know how to use my camera, I'm going to know everything about that camera so that I can use it properly, especially if I've gone and bought a really sophisticated one. I've got to take the time and the effort to get to know how to use it, put it through different experiences, learn how to use it, learn how it functions so that I can make the most out of that really sophisticated gadget. But we don't do that with ourselves. So that struck a chord with me in the context of perhaps we have no idea what well-being is and we're running around in circles trying to intellectualize it when really it happens at a more pure intelligence level that's not tied into the identity of, well, I'm a mum, so that means I've got a fat bum, or I work in a business and I work in a sedentary job, that's why I've got a fat bum. You know, like we don't identify with anything. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think so.
Are we totes down the rabbit hole right now?
I already need scotch. We've only been talking for 5 minutes.
Oh my goodness!
You got me this time.
Yeah. Well, I just wonder. I wonder if we are unwell because we don't know ourselves as well beings. We only know ourselves as doings. You know, we don't experience ourselves as well-beings. And when we don't know ourselves, we're the most sophisticated creation on the planet. And when we don't know ourselves completely and entirely, how can we get the most out of ourselves? How is it even possible?
How do we get the most value of this machine that we are?
Yeah, absolutely. We did a visualization at one of my events a couple of weeks ago where I got everybody to step out into their future right the way out to their funeral. And I got them to stand at the casket, and I got them to imagine that it was an open casket And there were people laughing and celebrating and, you know, cheering about how wonderful the life was. And there were people that were sad. But we were standing at the casket looking at the body ourselves, looking at ourselves in that casket. And it was about the experience of thinking, of seeing that was the body that I was given and I never knew what to do with it. Mm. All I did was I abused it. I told it that I didn't like it. I told it that I wanted to change this and change that. I never liked where it put me. I never liked where it took me. It never produced enough money for me. It never brought me the right relationships.
Oh.
Yeah. And oh. So in having that perspective, you look at the body and you go, I never knew it. And then you look at the you that's standing at the open casket. And now all of a sudden we're down a really deep rabbit hole. But now you're not associating yourself with the body because the body and you are separate. So what is standing at the casket? that standing at the casket is kind of like the driver of the avatar that's in the casket. So it's
important. Is this duality?
Well, it's non-duality because it's actually saying that that's all one. It's all one.
Yep.
When we are not the body. So that might be another conversation or another show. But when
God, with Deepak Chopra, not with me.
But it's amazing how in your mind's eye you can separate yourself from the body. So even in that visualization, you can do it.
I just closed my eyes and I was doing it while you were saying it.
Yeah. So you can see that you are more than the body.
Yeah.
So to know how to use the body, awesome. That's the physicality part. And the driver of the body, that is the part we don't know anything about. We can pull a heart apart and think we know how a heart works, but we don't know what gives it life. Mm. You know, we can cut a leg off and dissect the leg and be very intelligent about the leg, but we don't know what gives it life.
Yeah.
And the very part about being human is that part of you that's standing at the casket. I mean, you're the driver. That's the life force. And we don't know anything about it. And so if the very life force, we don't know anything about the life force and it's just functioning on its own, which it will do anyway, how can the vehicle that it's in ever experience pure well-being when we don't know anything about it?
Wow. So how then? Mm. How? Give me some steps.
Oh, God, I don't know.
I feel like I'm abandoning my body right now. Quick, bring me back.
Yeah, okay, so jump back into your body, open your eyes and scare everybody. And go, yoo-hoo, it was all a joke. We didn't quite do it that way at the event, but that is it for now.
Oh, so, but how then? How? Oh my God! How do you be a well-being? So we're talking about verbs now.
Yeah.
How do you be rather than an adjective? Do we be a well-being? Yes.
Yeah. Well,
am I there? No.
Yeah, totes.
I am. Okay, good. Right. Okay.
Totes. I think that, and this is just what I've come up with. So I think everybody's got to go inside and have a really good look for themselves and not really take my word for it. Don't trust me, because otherwise it's just another opinion. So I think it's really important that everybody does the inner work, but I think that that's what it is. I think instead of us having such an external life, I think it's time for us to actually begin to have an internal experience and really get to know ourselves and what I mean by that. And if we're to use Eastern philosophy, it's just a platform. Like, I don't know if it's right, but it certainly feels right inside of me that there is my intellect, which I have studied for and I have learnt a lot and I know a lot of things. But what I also know about the intellect is it doesn't know anything new. It can reframe, regurgitate, rework, reconstruct what it knows, but it can't come up with anything new. And science can also prove that, that 90% of our thoughts today are a repetition of our thoughts yesterday. And the other 10% is what we thought last week, last month, or last year. So when we're thinking, there's nothing new happening there. So if we are to put so much energy into the celebration of our intellect, which is what we have done for many generations, and I think it's because we were suppressed for such a long time that when we did actually get to start thinking, we really celebrated it, where we could think for ourselves and not have to follow somebody else's guidelines or religious dogma. But I think it's gone too far. I think we're celebrating, we're so into the intellect that we're missing everything else, because the intellect is just part of it. And, you know, in Eastern philosophy, they will say that the intellect is like a very sharp scalpel, because its job is to analyze and dissect. And it can dissect everything and it can know everything, but it can never experience life. It can't know life. Because you can't dissect life. You can't dissect the life force that beats us and breathes us. It can't dissect the soul. And so for most people, if they don't understand something, they'll say it's woo-hoo or it's spiritual or it's hippie or it's mystic or it's esoteric. But it's just because we can't experience those things or know those things through the intellect. And so we're missing out on them. And as far as identity is concerned, identity is the way that we identify ourselves. And with whatever we're identified with, that's what we'll be thinking about. And that's what our emotions will be generated through. So if I identify myself as a business owner, that's what I'm thinking about. If I identify myself as a wife, that's what I'm thinking about. If I identify myself as an animal lover, that's what I'm thinking about. So that the extent to which we're identified is the extent to which we think and feel. So kind of the identity and the intellect, you know, and emotions are all intertwined in this circular, backwards and forwards roller coaster of an experience that never really has anything new happen. And, you know, I can say that for me is certainly true. I look back on my life and I'm the common denominator, no doubt.
Mm.
And while my experiences might have been different, like I've got a different house or a different car, the things that give me angst or the things that push my buttons are no different. Nothing's changed.
Mm.
You know, nothing's changed. And I'm 45 now and I think, geez, come on. And I think that's what's really made me start to go down the rabbit hole on all of this, is because I think there's got to be more than this.
Yeah.
This is great, and I have a beautiful life, and I don't begrudge anything that I've got. In fact, I'm incredibly grateful. But I, you know, collectively and even individually, there's got to be more than this. Surely, it's not about getting up and going to work and coming home and getting up and going to work and coming home. It's not about. No way.
No.
No way.
No.
And then Eastern philosophy says the third component is memory, meaning your intellectual memory that's stored in the brain, but then also the memory in the body and conscious memory. So memory is huge. So you think about it, what they say is that you have no idea what your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother looked like, yet her nose is on your face.
Yeah,
so your mind could never have a memory back that far, but your body does.
Wow.
Stop it.
Shut the front door.
I know. And when I was listening to that and reading that, I was like, that's so real. That is true.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Brain exploded.
Totes.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And so
yeah.
No, you go.
So what's this program that you're working on?
Oh, well, I'm building a 7-part online program called The Effortless Self. And this is some of the content that I'm putting into The Effortless Self. But I am delivering a presentation for an organization where I'm talking about well-being.
Yep.
And it really, when I thought about that as my topic title, I went, cool, now what the hell does that mean? Because I can't agree that we have achieved well-being. We've achieved great comfort with all of our technology and all of our money, and, you know, nobody's really struggling to make a living these days. I mean, some people certainly are, but, I mean, you know, there are jobs nowadays. You know, you can clean streets or you can clean toilets or clean houses. There is work out there, you know. Mm. So everybody has the capacity to earn a living, even if it is from the government. It still has the capacity to earn a living. So we are really, really comfortable, and technology has made us really, really comfortable, but we are no closer to well-being now than what we ever have been.
Wow. I'm really looking forward to this, because I'm thinking, you know, one of the ways that I take care of my well-being is, you know, green kale smoothies, and this sounds to me like I may never have to drink one again.
You are hilarious.
I'm happy with the effortless self. This sounds much easier than green kale smoothies.
You are hysterical. Oh, my goodness. What a riot. Oh, my goodness. Well, you just never know, honey. You just never know.
It sounds like I'm going to go to a presentation about well-being, and they're not going to talk about yoga or green smoothies.
True. Although I probably would speak about yoga.
Oh, okay. I do like yoga.
Yeah, I would talk about yoga. But that's about it. Mind you, having said that, I won't be hypocritical. I am trying a detox at the moment. That is, the first 2 days are bentonite clay.
What?
Alternated with psyllium husk and dried apple. So it's 2 days of that, and it's supposed to do a big scrub of the inside. And I've had candida for about 15 years because I've been a sugar addict. And I've been really, really good with my emotional eating for the last 2 years or so, but I still get bloating and I still get issues with my belly. So I'm doing the bentonite clay to take out all the heavy metals and all the dead carcasses of the candida, because when candida dies in your gut, you kind of got to do an elimination. And I refuse to get a colonic. So
it would be so much easier to have a colonic than to eat clay.
Well, I don't think so.
Aren't you going to have to poop out the clay? How does that work?
Well, that's why you have the psyllium husk. You alternate with the psyllium husk and just bucket loads of water to keep it flushing out of the system. It hasn't been too bad, let me say, without getting too gross. It hasn't been too bad, peeps. It's been all right. And then after that, you go on 14 days of beautiful raw foods. All the beautiful fats, all the beautiful proteins.
Well, anything's going to be bloody beautiful after eating clay and psyllium husks.
True. But I'm almost at the end.
I would even eat kale after psyllium husk and clay.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm almost at the end of day two. So it's raw food for me from tomorrow. Thank goodness for that. But anyway, I'm not sure that this is well-being. It certainly feels like it might be. Don't know. I'll have to keep you posted. Give me another 14 days and I'll let you know.
I'll be following you closely.
Yeah.
Well, no.
How hilarious. Oh, goodness.
Well, I'm going to go take care of my well-being and have a wine or a scotch.
Well, whatever works, love, because here's the other part. Here's the fourth part, and I just say go there.
Yes.
The pure intelligence is the fourth dimension of the mind. Well, of consciousness. Let's not say the mind, of consciousness. It's the fourth dimension. And pure intelligence is where all creativity stems from. And when you touch and connect with pure creativity and pure intelligence without memory, identity, without any of that stuff, pure intelligence, that's where that sensation of being in flow. It's that sensation of where you can eat anything and it doesn't upset you or affect you, and you just are in the most exceptional state. And, you know, have you seen The Matrix?
Yes.
I don't know if you remember, there's a part in The Matrix where everybody turns into code, like the way that Neo sees them all, they all turn into code. And this pure intelligence to me feels like it's that. It's where everything begins to, or everything has that beautiful vibration and everything is connected with everything. And everything is just in that state of perpetual bliss because it's not hanging on to anything. It's involved, unbelievably involved with consciousness and with life, but it's not attached to anything. And I think to me, that's what that feels like. You know, when we become attached to something, we get a story about it. We get a reason about it. We get an envision about it. But when we're just involved with it, there's just flavor and texture. So, yeah. Now you go be involved with your wine.
No, now I can't.
Yeah, well, sorry about that.
Now I can't be involved with my wine because it's all about the past and the future, not about the present. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, sucked in.
I'm going to go and have a glass of water.
Yeah, go and have a tomato. I'm sitting here looking at three tomatoes. They're looking very tasty. I can't wait to eat them tomorrow. But I tell you, this whole exploration for content, I tell you, has made me more resolved about eating raw than ever before.
Wow.
Ever before. It's like, oh, my God, how could we have missed this? How could we have missed the beautiful consciousness that exists in a piece of fruit just picked or a tomato just picked? But then, you know, our damn grocery stores will freeze them for 12 months before they actually make it to our plate. So even then you're not getting the pure magic of it, you know?
No, you've got to get your own veggie gardens going.
Yeah, I think so. Have you got a veggie garden?
Yeah. We just do need to harvest and redo ready for I think we're actually a bit late. We should have put some in July. But I'm actually thinking out our we've got a beautiful garden at the front, very cottagey style with hedges and lavender bushes and roses. And in between them, I've filled the gaps with herbs.
Oh, stunning.
I know. So it's really, I think people think it's really hard to go and put a veggie garden and get the proper boxes and do all the things. You can throw it in your yard already. You know, it doesn't, you can mix and match your garden with fruit and veggies and still have it looking beautiful and pretty.
I think you're right.
And get chickens that eat the tomatoes and then poop them all over the backyard and tomato plants grow up everywhere.
Oh, cool. I love that. How funny.
There we go.
So what would well-being have meant to you before I went on my soapbox?
Well, you know, I was just thinking.
You were just a normal person and then I came along and being a freak.
You're all freaky on me. No, I love where you're going with this. I really, really do. Oh, gosh, I can't wait. I can't wait to jump into all that because I don't have the time you have to do all that research. I love all those, you know, the Eastern philosophies that you're talking about. It sounds fantastic. But well-being for me before you spoke was I was just trying to think of when I feel like I'm well-being, what is that feeling? And I feel a sense of vitality. Ah. And, you know, I feel a sense of meaning and purpose and I feel competent. You know, that to me, that's well-being. I feel, you know, I feel like I'm calm and at peace. And that ties in with everything you're saying. It just takes a couple hundred layers down to get to where you went. But then I was thinking, well, what is it when I'm not well-being? It's I'm feeling out of whack or I'm feeling unbalanced or you know, juggling, that word juggling drives me nuts because I don't think you can juggle. I don't think that is possible, juggling this and juggling that. I don't think that has you being well.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, and for me, people that are trying to find the balance between work, life and family, I don't think there is a balance because for me the word balance is all about, you know, walking a tightrope and balancing and putting your arms out and having a bit of a wobble all the way. And it's bloody stressful. I don't want to be walking in tightrope. I actually had to, because I'm all about words and past meanings of words that have a belief around the word. And so I've actually changed it for me where I don't strive for balance or strive to get the juggle right. I just am okay with harmony. Harmony for me is an ebb and flow, and it's being able to ride that wave as it comes in and as it goes out, as it comes in and as it goes out. That's when I feel like I'm being well, that I can do that easily, that I'm not bashing up against rocks or anything like that. I've just got this beautiful wave of coming in and going out.
What an extraordinary analogy.
Harmony. And then even the word harmony, I go, oh, harmony.
I think that analogy, though, is beautiful, riding the waves, not bashing up against the rocks. Honestly, love, look at you go like a rock star. How profound is that?
And, you know,
that?
Sometimes waves are big and they've got lots of foam and they're really big and they're powerful, and then other times they're just, you know, coming in and having a little crash on the beach and then coming in and having a crash. And that for me is life, and that is a beautiful sense of, you know, everything then. That's give, that's take, that's some for you, some for me. It's just a beautiful feeling.
Amazing. I love that. I'm going to use that. Can I borrow that for my course?
Of course you can.
Oh, I love it.
Of course you can. Harmony. And, you know, when you listen to harmony, it's not screeching heavy metal or anything like that. It's, you know, it's beautiful, and it's a high voice with a low voice.
Yeah, it's blending.
It's blending, and it's in flow, and it's still the same song, and they're still on the same path.
Yeah.
It's slightly different. And that's the beauty in it for me.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's just totally made my day.
Oh, there you go. Oh. I doubled your well-being.
Oh, you did. You did. Oh, that is beautiful. Thank
you. I'll give you some harmony and I'll raise your well-being.
Yeah. Only if we can do it over wine. Thank you for being on the show today, lovely.
Oh, thank you. That was an awesome, mind-blowing chat.
Yeah.
Back on the ground now. I'm okay.
There should be a caution sign that, like, I put on each show saying, strap yourselves in.
Yeah, totally. I am wearing a harness next time.
Good, good, good. Oh, you don't need to wear a harness. You're right there. You're funny. All right, well, thank you, Chicken, and we'll have you on the show again shortly, no doubt.
Thanks, Karen.
All right, big love. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Karen's Couch this week. I hope you've enjoyed it and had a bit of a mind boggle and a noodle bake. It's always a bit of fun, isn't it? Go down the rabbit hole and really stretch the way that you think about things. So go to our Facebook page at allthews.facebook.com/Karen Smith. And you can also go to my website at allthews.karenscouch.com and post your comments there. So let us know if there are any topics that you want us to cover. It would be really cool to get your feedback on today's show, and any questions that you've got for me or Michelle, pop them onto the Facebook page. Thanks so much for tuning in. Go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and start telling everybody that you know about Karen's Couch. We are getting more and more people tuning in every week, and it is amazing. It's so cool to be able to do this work with you guys and to share the ride with you. So thanks again, and I'm going to see you here next week. Big love coming your way. See you, everybody.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.